1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to give the second message on the covering the divine line between men and women. We're talking about divine lines in the book of Genesis, and we gave the introductory message two Sundays ago, and then now back to this Sunday night, the divine line between man and woman. I'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in just a second. But three different times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God very specifically drew a line. He did it first in Genesis chapter 1 when it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. This is repeated in chapter 5. Verse number 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Jesus repeats this in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4 through 6. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Folks, anytime God draws a divine line and emphatically says, I'm drawing a line, and on this side we have male and on this side we have female. The devil, I don't care what line it is. We've looked at the line between light and darkness. We talked about the line between the species. We talked about the line drawn between man and beast. And now we have a clear line drawn in Genesis, male and female. And folks, I'll tell you, when I taught on this, 20, 25 years ago, there was a lot more pushback, honestly, even in churches, than there is today. You say, why? Because people are doing better? No, they're not doing better. I wish more Christians were doing better in this area. But you know what? Now I have a front row seat to see the consequences of allowing this line to be blurred. And I hate to see it because it's an abomination. It's wickedness. But, you know, all of a sudden, this whole thing that we just wanted to be open-minded about because it didn't really affect us is now starting to affect us. We reach a point in time where you're scared to send your little girl to a public bathroom. Ladies, you're about half terrified to walk in there yourself. You don't know what you're going to find in there. And you know what? This is being pushed. It's being shoved onto society. Anytime that we decide that we're going to respect the rights of sexual perverts. Folks, listen to me. The writing of the Constitution, those men had no thought that the rights of sexual perverts ought to be equated with the rights of Americans, okay? And folks, listen, help us on this. You know what? You don't get to choose what race you were born. You were born whatever God puts you in. You know what? That's fine. Not a problem with that whatsoever. You're born male or female. But you know what? You got a choice in sexual perversions. Nobody has ever been born a homosexual. Nobody's ever been born bisexual, transgender. No, God created man in the womb with his own hands. And I'm telling you, when you say that that person was born a homosexual, Jeremiah chapter 1, what you're saying is the hands of Almighty God formed him to be a homosexual. And you're blaspheming God. Right. You're laying an accusation again at the feet of the Creator that should not be laid there. And so be very careful what you're repeating, parroting. You know, we want to sound like we're accepting and inclusive and all of this stuff. No, God is not accepting or inclusive when it comes to abominations. He calls them abominations. And we've got to stop surrendering to this. We've got to start speaking up. And I wanted to review that a little bit. So last week we talked about original intent. And we talked about the idea of men living out the original intent that we seen and chronicled in the book of Genesis. Very clear, very plain what God created man to do. And it is different than what God created a woman to do. And if you go back to original intent, that was a lot of teaching. Get on the website if you weren't here. Listen to it. I encourage you to do it. But God did not just draw a divine line between a man and woman in their original intent. But God also drew a divine line between man and woman, and they were created to be separate and distinct, not only in the carrying out of their original intent, but also they were commanded to be separate and distinct in their outward appearance. We're going to tackle tonight one of the first of two ways that men are supposed to be very distinct and different in outward appearance than women. And we're going to talk about the matter of hair. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Back to original intent, folks. It's being reinforced in the New Testament. Well, that's Old Testament. There's plenty of New Testament for what we taught 2 weeks ago. "For this cause ought the woman to have power." By the way, that word power means authority. "Ought to have power or authority on her head because of the angels." Well, what an interesting statement. We're going to explain that tonight. "Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." By the way, God just kept this thing going in such a way where we need each other. You know, woman was created out of a man, but man, ever since then, has been born from woman. Isn't that interesting? By the way, we need each other. Both are important. Verse 13, "Judging yourselves, is it comely?" Judging yourselves, he says. Is it comely? Is it proper? Is it appropriate that a woman pray unto God uncovered? "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Now, if I could get everybody to see verse number 15, go back up and interpret all of the covering. Yes. By the way, it is clearly identified right there. I'll deal with that. But folks, listen, there's some things that people are doing, and they're good-hearted and sincere. But that is absolutely a misinterpretation of the scripture, and I'm going to help you with that, okay, tonight. "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray especially. I want to teach this, Lord, accurately. I believe I have the mind of God. I think I have the proper interpretation. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for helping this preacher as I studied the Bible. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we teach this tonight, we'll understand the importance of these outward distinctions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to go back. I was going to, but I think I'm going to just let you, if you weren't here, go back and listen to it. The first thing that we covered was the divine line between a man and woman in the line. Is the line of original intent. I'm not going to try to reteach that, but I want to go ahead and get into this tonight because there is quite a bit of material that I want to cover, and I want to go through this portion of scripture properly. A lot of times when we're dealing with the idea of, is it wrong for a man to have long hair? Is it wrong for a woman to have short hair? What does God really say on this? We jump all the way down and we quote verse number 14 and 15. And then, and by the way, 14 and 15 is great, but it's going to be so much more powerful when we look at these verses within the context of the teaching. I think when we get done here, you're going to understand. Sometimes people say, "Preacher, is outward appearance that big of a deal?" It absolutely is. But it's not just because of what it is, it's because of what it stands for. Now please hear what I'm saying there. It's not a big deal just because of what it is, it's a big deal because of what it stands for. And so I want you to listen with an open heart tonight, because I believe we've just gotten away from this, and we're not treating it as if it's important, But you have to understand that our outward appearance to the world is teaching the world something and showing outwardly that we are convinced that God made no mistakes and that we have great respect for original intent and why God created us. So stay with me. I think you'll find this interesting. 1 Corinthians, we're teaching through on Wednesday nights. Eventually we'll get to chapter number 11 and we'll probably summarize it at that point because I'm going to try to go through it pretty thoroughly tonight. And what's the deal? What's the big deal? Why should men have their hair cut short? Why should men not have long hair? Why should women have their hair long and not have it cut short? What's the issue, preacher? It doesn't really matter, does it? Let's let the Bible speak to that tonight. First of all, Paul starts out this chapter, and the way he starts it out, it sets up the rest of the chapter. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, what we're going to talk about here, we're going to get down to verse number 3, is authority. When this portion of scripture is talking about a covering, if you look at that word covering and you'll go back and look at the Greek word, that same Greek word is interpreted and translated in your King James Bible several places as the word authority. So when it's talking about covering, it's talking about authority. Here's what Paul starts it out saying. He begins to talk about pastoral authority, and he said, be you followers of me. Remember we talked about that in Sunday school? That's okay. It's good, everybody, just take a breath, get over this thing. Decide we're not going to spend our lives being rebels and rebelling against authority. Amen. Amen. I figured that would happen right before we tried to show the video, actually. I mean, everything else happened. If you didn't notice, the screen wouldn't go down. They had to try to go get a ladder. And Brother Tom's up here. I don't think God wants you to do this thing. I think he's trying to send a signal. And I said, he probably is. He probably is. But Paul starts out by saying, be you followers of me. Notice this. He's talking about pastoral authority. But wait a minute. Didn't I tell you that all human authority is limited authority? And that's what we taught in Sunday school this morning. And so what does he say? Be you followers of me. By the way, that's a blank check. Whatever I say, you better do it. Now, if a preacher is trying to run his church like this, he has every right for someone to point a finger and say that man's a dictator or say whatever you want to say about him. But he says this, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And here's what Paul did. He put himself under the covering or the authority of Christ. And because he was willing to do that, then he was able then to ask the church to put themselves under his pastoral leadership and pastoral authority. Okay, now, that's on purpose. Now we're going to get down into verse number 3 and verse number 2. I'm not going to spend time on. You can look at it. Verse number 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Okay, but watch this. And the head of the woman is the man. And he's not done. And the head of Christ is God. Now, that's very interesting, by the way. I said something else in Sunday school about, well, if you want equal authority, you can go to see the Trinity. We said, wait a minute, preacher, that's not true. No, it is true. I'm going to show you that it's true. You see, Christ, when he came here to earth, he submitted himself to the authority of the Father. You know, it's kind of like this. You know when Abraham was called up to sacrifice Isaac? Okay, you know, and I'm not going to get into this. I could peel back some layers, and pretty soon we get to a point where it's like, okay, we can't understand God. We're going into one of those dark holes. But, you know, God is one God, and yet he chooses to reveal himself in three very distinct personalities. I believe in the Trinity. I don't believe in three gods. I believe in one God. Okay? But, and again, well, I can't comprehend that. Well, welcome to the club. Guess what? You're not as smart as God. We're not going to comprehend him, God. And don't worry, an ant crawling on the ground can comprehend me. Okay, his ways are so far above our ways, his thoughts so far above our thoughts. But I had this thought. You've got Abraham, and he's taking Isaac, and Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ. But folks, watch this. Abraham's a picture of God the Father. Listen, the Bible says that when God put his son on the cross, allowed his son to be put on the cross, he put his sins on him. The Bible says it did please the Lord to smite him. It's almost like, listen, I can't be Abraham and Isaac. Guess what, Jesus? You're Isaac, and I'm going to be Abraham. And you know what? He had to submit, just like Isaac submitted to what Abraham asked. Christ submitted to what God said. And he said, listen, you know, I can't be the sacrificial lamb and kill the sacrificial lamb. Someone's got to be the Father. Somebody's going to be the Son. So here's the plan, and you know what? We see that that is taught and backed up by Scripture. Now, this, ladies, I'm sharing this with you. Stay with me because this is important. If Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But wait a minute. He was equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, became obedient unto, and was made in the likeness of men. And by the way, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What was God's reaction to his willingness to submit? Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Folks, God the Father rewarded his Son because of his willingness to submit. By when we get to heaven in all eternity, folks, listen to me, there's going to be some things that Jesus is allowed to do. Remember when they've got that that book and they can't find someone to open the book? And you know what? All of heaven and earth is weeping because the book's not going to be open. And then here comes the Lamb of God. And buddy, everybody goes crazy. You know why he gets that exaltation? You know what why he gets the praise? You know why he gets the glory? You know why he gets that moment? Because he said, I'm equal with God. But for this time period to redeem mankind, I'm going to put myself under the authority of the Father. Now stay with me, folks. God, Christ, who's the Bible says is the head of the man? Christ. Who's the head of the woman? All right, so we've got God. I don't have four hands. We have God, we have Christ, we have man, we have woman. And by the way, it's not because you're less. In the same way Christ was equal, you're equal. You know, do you think about this? Submission, you don't have to ask somebody that's inferior to submit. They already are submitting by their inferiority. We're not talking about less. I'm going to tell you when I get down here, you're going to understand. And by the way, the lady that will do this, you wait till we get to glory and see how she's exalted. If God rewarded his Son for being submissive when he didn't have to be, he chose to be, I think there's going to be, we kid about this, but I'm not, I believe it. You know, I kid about us preachers, we'll give you talk about how we couldn't do with what we do without our wives. And, you know, we always talk about this line in heaven. You know, I don't know if there's going to be a line in heaven, but, you know, you're in the back of the line, you're in the front of the line. And I said, you know, all of us preachers are going to be in the back of the line. We're going to be going, hey, man, wow, I thought we did better than this. And we're going to look at the front, all our wives are going to be at the front going, hey, you know. Amen. Didn't Jesus say the servant was greater than all? And I'm going to tell you, it is a higher level of Christianity. Think about this. Who put himself under God? Christ. The supreme example of Christianity is not leading anything. It's submitting to God-appointed leadership. And so I'll say it plain. I think you have to be a better Christian to be a proper, obedient Christian woman than you do to be a Christian man. And I think it's going to prove out at the judgment seat in the rewards. Okay? So stay with me on this. All right? Now, so we've got this verse number 3. All right? So he said our God, Christ, and then we've got man, and then we've got woman. All right? So far, so good. Verse number 3. Now look at verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, I'm going to let you help me interpret the Bible here, okay? So now, the covering is not a hat or some, doily or an Amish cap. The covering is the authority. He just told you what the coverings were. Okay? I don't know where we get some of this crazy stuff. It's tradition of men is what it is. But the covering, if you will just get that completely out of your mind, it'll help you to understand this portion of Scripture. Everybody that comes to this portion of Scripture reads it 10 times over trying to figure out, am I supposed to wear a beanie or am I not supposed to wear a beanie? That's not what it's talking about. All right? It's talking about a covering. What did we say the covering? What did we say other places in King James Bible? Same Greek word. is translated authority. This covering is an authority. All right, now keep that in your mind and forget whether you got a hat on or off. All right, now we'll be able to, isn't it interesting how the devil puts these crazy little things out there, creates controversy, and we can't properly interpret a whole portion of scripture because we're hung up on some ding-dong idea that somebody came up with, all right? Now watch this. Every man praying or prophesying. Now, gentlemen, stay with me here. Okay, so if I call on you to pray, there ought to be something true about you. All right? Then watch this, what it says. If I ask you to teach a class, prophesying simply means either teaching or preaching the words of God, proclaiming forth the words of God. In the Old Testament, prophets were giving the word of God. No new revelations being given. We're just speaking out what's been given. Now it's still prophesying. It's the speaking forth of the words of God. Now, Sunday school teacher, guess what? You prophesy every week. Sometimes men, I may look at you and say, hey, would you lead us in prayer? Now stay with me. Every man that praying or prophesying, having his head covered. Now stop. Okay. Is this talking about Christ, the covering of Christ? Think about it. Is it talking about this right now? Would it be a wrong thing for you to be under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I can't ask you to pray because you're under submission under the authority of Christ. Okay, this is where we have to rightly divide the word of God. Is he talking about that? No, he's not talking about that. Is there, you know, I can't have you be a Sunday school teacher because I've watched your life and you're under the authority of God the Father and Jesus Christ, so that disqualifies you. That's not what it's saying here. What he does is he said, you know what? Christ is under God. Man is under Christ. Woman's under man. Now, let me take this man-woman relationship and let's talk about it. And that's what the rest of the chapter's focusing on. Not the four layers, but the bottom two. All right, come on. Are you looking at it? All right, help me now. All right, is the lights coming on? Is this a proper interpretation? Obviously, folks, it's fine for us to be under the authority of Christ. Didn't Paul start the chapter by saying, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ? He's not, obviously, not condemning that. He's not condemning that. Okay? So what he's done now is he's taken the man-woman relationship and he said it, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, stay. That means your eyes are up here, your eyes are up here. Thank you. I'm going to do a jumpy jack so I can get your attention. Yeah, everybody sees me. Good, all right. All right, here we go. So he's taken this and he's brought it over here. And now he's going to talk about the man-woman relationship, which is all the way down to where verse 12 is talking about. So now that we've understood God in Christ, why did he mention that? To confuse us? No, so that we would understand that Christ was equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him in the form of a servant. And by the way, you know what? Because of that, we are redeemed. We have a chance to go to heaven one of these days. Eternal good came out of it. So he wanted to get that example so that the ladies would understand. Listen, Christianity does not put ladies down, it lifts ladies up. The thing that brought ladies out of being treated like a piece of property was Christianity. Paganism makes you less. Why in the world are all the women running towards paganism? Don't they understand? Don't they have history books? Paganism's made women less. Christianity, God's word, respects you for what he created you to be. I'm going to go a step farther because I feel like sometimes when we teach this, ladies just have this inferiority complex and they come away feeling, okay, I'm going to throw even another thing out there to you. Let's go back to creation a minute here. Everything God created from day one on through the creative process, everything he created was a higher level of creation than the thing before it. True or false? Then why do we think that stopped when he created the very last thing? Ladies, I'm going to plead with you. We talk about mankind being the crowning glory, and I realize human race is the crowning glory. But ladies, the best creation God ever made was women. And when you properly execute your original intent, you keep civilization civil. I mean, when Romans chapter 1 says, even their women did, when it's talking about this reprobate lifestyle and the homosexuality, even their women, it was almost like God says, I mean, it got to the point where the best of what I made is given into this. We're gone! What happened when even their women did it? Reprobate society. Listen, I hold men responsible. Men, we've got to be responsible. But ladies, I'm telling you, the execution and the living out of your original intent and you holding the lines of morality according to the scriptures is what keeps civilization civil and keeps a nation from getting on the fast track to judgment. Because I believe this, you're the best God ever made. All right, I want to say all that because then God's going to look at the best he ever made and he's going to say, I'm going to, because of your original intent, because of what I created and designed you to do, I'm going to command something of you, and I need you to do this. And God has very distinct reasons for that. Stay with me, all right? I mean, I want the ladies, and I'm on your side. I mean, I've got such a respect for Christian ladies that are doing right, and honestly, such a grief in my heart to Christian ladies that refuse to recognize original intent and refuse to stay within the boundaries of what the Bible says they're supposed to be on the inside and what they're supposed to be on the outside. Okay? It's important that you hold the lines. Well, it's just hair. It's so much more than hair. We're going to get to it. Here we go. So every man praying or prophesying having his head covered. What does that mean? All right, now we've separated this husband-wife relationship. Here's the man. Here's the woman. The man is the covering for the woman. Now, all of a sudden, here's a man, and in that home, it's like this. Okay? Stay with me. He said, now, if you pray or prophesy, if you participate in any leadership capacity in the church, and you don't have that right in your home, look what it says. Having his head covered dishonoreth his head. Who's his head? Amen. All right, are you listening to me, guys? Well, you know, I just fought it for a few years and I got sick of fighting. And so I just let her do whatever and I just kind of follow along. Okay, then if you're that way and you're teaching a Sunday school, please resign tonight. And if I ask you to pray, just say, preacher, I'm sorry, my head's covered. I can't pray in church. This is important stuff. This is a big deal. How are we going to raise up a generation in the church to make sure that they're following original intent and that they're not living in rebellion to God's original intent if the men and women in the church they're being raised up, all the men have their heads covered? And again, we're not talking about a hat or an Amish beanie. It's always the false doctrine, the misinterpretation that keeps us from the truth we need to get. It's talking about a covering. Now, it goes on. Verse 2, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth. You say, is it wrong for women to pray in church? It's not wrong for women to pray in church, but if there's a man present in that meeting, then let the man lead. But you know what? If there's ladies, why do you say, preacher on Wednesday? And by the way, if we understand the Bible, you understand that the little details of what we do here has importance. Why do you say, man, why don't you come up here and pray? And why don't you ladies pray up there? I've now had it in this church, but the two church plants I've had, both of those men had to deal with this thing where women in the church started coming to church, walked up to the preacher, went, John, I just don't understand. Why don't you call the ladies to pray in church? Now, you see, I love the fact that some of you went, you know, because you were raised in a church that's done it right so long that you can't even imagine that happening, but you go to the average church and see who's leading in that church. And by the way, one of the reasons, stay with me, the church of Corinth, and that's what we're studying here, had some of the false doctrine and the issues they had is because they got this thing switched around. First in the homes and then in the church. Now it goes on to say, here we go. But every man that pray, every woman, verse 5, that prayeth or prophesies. So guess what? If you're in a ladies meeting and someone says to you, would you lead us in prayer? Like you're back here in the choir room and the ladies are here. And I sometimes hear them. One of them says, let's pray before we go out there. It's all ladies. It's good. You've got a class of children. There's nothing wrong with usurping the authority of that classroom when it's children. But you're not, and we'll show you this, you're not to usurp authority over a man. There's a reason for that, and we're getting to it, all right? So you know what it says? It says, hey, ladies, if you pray or you teach in the church and you have your head uncovered, you dishonor your head. And by the way, who's your head? Your husband. You dishonor your husband. Okay? I don't know where we'll get down. Let's jump down to verse 13. He finally just stops and says, judge in yourselves. And some of you are doing that right now. You've got to judge in yourself. Is it comely? Is it appropriate, right, beautiful, that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Let me tell you something. Neither women or men like that. Something inside of us. We put on a ladies' meeting or had a shower up here, and I asked a lady to speak to the women on marriage or on the home, and I picked somebody who everybody in this church knew was not under the authority of their husband, of her husband. There's not a woman sitting out there that wouldn't sit there the whole time she's speaking going, come on, ladies, would you or wouldn't you? He said, judging yourselves. And by the way, men, let me ask you that question. Shouldn't we have an issue about that? Yeah. I'm telling you, ladies, Sunday school teachers, the other people's kids are going into your class. They have a right to be taught by a lady the word of God who is covered. Right. Not with a beanie. Yes, with the authority of her husband. Right. All right? And this is what... Why is this, preacher? I don't get this. Why is God? We're going to get to it. God's making a big deal about it because of original intent. We'll get to it. Stay with me. All right? So this is important, okay? Verse number 6. For if the woman be not covered, here's what God said. You want to preach or teach? Some of them want to preach. And some of them are preaching. So you want to preach or you want to pray? Or you want to lead something with the other ladies in your church and you're not under the authority of your husband? He said, fine, do it, but first shave your head. Now this is where all of a sudden, why is hair getting into this all of a sudden? Because that hair means something. That hair means something. It's an outward symbol of something. Why all of a sudden is they talking about shaving their head? Stay with me, all right? For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, and it is. You say, well, I don't want to be. What are you talking about? Paul, are you nuts? I'm not shaving my head. Then he said, then be covered. No, I'm gonna say it, all right? Not every lady that has long hair is covered. You can have long hair and still be a rebel in your home. But you are still right to have the long hair. But you know what? It's a symbol of something that ought to be true in your life. Okay? And so that's what it says. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Again, we're not talking about a hat. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, in that relationship, remember we set the relationship over here, but the woman is the glory of the man. And what he's saying is, in the same way, it's a shame for a woman to be exercising and being used in the church to influence others or to be in a leadership capacity with either young people or children or other ladies and not have this figured out and settled in their life. He said, it's the same shame for you, sir, to do that and lead that and not have your ducks in a row. Isn't that why when we go to the qualifications of the pastor, it says, hey, if you can't rule well your own home, you're disqualified for being a pastor. In other words, he said, hey, if your wife, I'm going to tell you, I can name names right now. of preachers that are their wife's puppet. And she's really pastoring the church. He's just up there in front. And he follows her. She don't follow him. She's ruling that roost. And that church ought to rise up and say, listen, we love you and we hope you get this figured out. But you are not qualified to pastor our church. Okay? And if you'll go into those churches, you know what you'll find out? The other why is that such a dangerous thing? Because the other ladies in that church are watching. And next thing you know, you start seeing this role reversal start like dominoes within the church. And the women are rising up against the pastor, or raising up against their, and next thing you know, you got chaos. Yes, sir. Yes, okay? So that's why he's saying in this portion of scripture, be careful, be careful, be careful. Okay? Because man, God is the covering of Christ, and Christ is the covering of the man. And man is the covering of the woman. The covering is talking about that authority. Now stay with me. All right, verse number 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And again, didn't we go back to original intent? Yes, I believe. I mean this, ladies. I think you are the best thing God made on the week of creation. But when he made you, he still reached inside of a man. And he still brought you out of the man. And he still has original intent. Okay? Stay with me now. So he says, listen, neither, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of man. Neither was the man created for the woman. Is this what I taught in original intent? But the woman for the man. You know, that's why God saw man. And he created us, gentlemen, with the strengths that we need to execute his plan for our life and to fulfill original intent. But can I say this? Every strength has a corresponding weakness. It does. And when he created a woman, he created her in so many ways completely different, but also as a helpmeet, as a fit. The strengths of this woman helps the weakness of man as the strength of man protects the weakness of the woman. I mean, God knew what he was doing. When we mess it up is when this person on this side of the line decides that, you know, they've gone to the university and they listen to a bunch of humanists and atheists and liberals. And they're more worried about being politically correct than scripturally correct. So they're going to come over on this side of the line, and then they're going to push them in on this side of the line. Pretty soon nobody can figure out what side of the line we're on anymore. And the world goes into moral debauchery because the home that produces the proper product is all mixed up. And when the home gets mixed up, the churches start getting mixed up. And when the church gets messed up, we're done. We're the last thing holding the line. Okay? So let's continue on. All right. Let me see. I got ahead of my notes. I got in the spirit there. So, amen. Now, let's get on down here. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Sir, you were created for the will of God, the work of God, to create, to achieve and fulfill God's will and purpose for your life. That's why he was created. Remember, he was created with a place. He was created with a purpose. He was given the rules. She's come along to come to him. I'm going to get myself in more trouble. But I'm going down this road. I might as well go all the way. Okay. Little Stephanie Pierce. I'll tell you who it is, because I'm going to tell you something. She's a sweet example of everything I'm talking about and came from a home that knew nothing about what I was talking about. But she came to church, sat down, and started listening to the preacher. She came to me, and she's such a tender-hearted young lady when she was a teenager, incredibly tender-hearted, sincere in her faith. I mean, she's a real deal. Wasn't a perfect kid, but she's a real deal. And she wanted so bad to serve God and be surrendered to God. That was her heart. She came to me one day. She said, preacher, I almost came forward during the invitation. I said, okay, what's going on? She said, I think God might be calling me to the mission field. And she said, I just wanted to talk to you about that. And I said, well, God may put you on the mission field. But I said, let me help you with something. Let me tell you what God's will for you is. God's will for you is to stay in God's perfect will, exercise patience and purity until you marry the young man God created for you. And then God's going to tell that young man what the will of God is for his life, and you're the helpmeet to help make that thing happen. Yes. And I've gotten in trouble in Bible colleges saying that. But that's okay. I'll get in trouble some more.
Amen.
It is right. It's biblical. God created Adam and told him, this is the place and this is the job and these are the rules. And by the way, that's what I need you to do. And then he looked at that mess and went, oh, he's going to need some help. And he said, go to sleep. And he picked up a rib and he made the best thing he ever made. Oh my goodness, I just want Christian women to, you realize that you are not climbing the ladder by usurping the male role. You are at the top of the ladder. You're the best when you do what God created you to do. You diminish everything that you are when you don't. And God made this wonderful creation. And he went over and he took, brought her to man. And he looked at her and went, whoa, man. And that's how he named her, man. Man. Woman, woman, woman. All right. And that's the absolute proper interpretation there. No, it's not. But anyway. And praise God. We talk about a dynamic duo. He's been created with all the strengths to complete what he's needed to do. But those strengths have corresponding weaknesses and needs. And here's a woman that's created with a whole different skill set and strengths where she needs strengths. And she comes alongside. And when you get that combination, man, that's amazing. We just can't hardly get it anymore. Young people are either not marrying out of God's will. You know, they're not going to read Stay in the Castle. I mean, why? My preacher wrote it. I'm not going to listen to those seven royal laws. I think for myself. Yeah, how you doing? Okay, listen to me. Ladies, when you were created, divine purpose, original intent, was for you to be put under the protection and the authority of the man. Listen to me. You're born into that in your home. As a girl, as a young lady growing up, your covering is your father. There's significance of your father walking you down the aisle and handing you to your husband. That's not just some vain tradition. It's a picture of something. You stayed under your, by the way, if you don't stay under your father's authority and you want to marry against his wishes and against his will and outside of his blessing, don't then blaspheme the wedding ceremony by putting him in position by asking him to walk you down the aisle. Well, why in the world would God birth a little girl into a home and keep her under the protection and authority, the covering of her father, until they get married, and then that young lady is handed from her father's and right seamlessly into and underneath the covering of her husband? Why is that? Let me share something with you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to answer that question, but let me share something with you. When I see a young lady do this in the home where here's daddy and she's growing up and, oh, she turned 18.
Right.
Many of them are starting it at 14 and 13 and 12. And they do this.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you what's going to happen to her. Oh, well, let me teach it so that you'll be with me. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Stay with me. Listen, I think I'm being fair tonight. I don't think Jerry Ross is trying to talk you into seeing it from my perspective. We're going to the scriptures. I don't know how it could be any more plain. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, look at this. And verse number 12. Ladies, let me tell you something. I told you, I think you're the best God ever created. But because of what God created you to do, just like your husband, everybody amen me when I said they had strengths and some corresponding weaknesses. You have some strengths, some gifts, but with that comes some weaknesses. All right? Now, put your seatbelt on. If you're a feminist, you're going to need it right now. All right? Look at verse number 12. in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. It's talking about silence when it comes to teaching or usurping authority over the man. Again, when the young people get out of fourth grade around here and they go in the fifth and sixth grade class, you hear me every Sunday morning say, fifth and sixth grade boys, you can stand. Fifth and sixth grade girls, you can stand. I don't do that on fourth graders. I don't do that on third graders. I don't do that on second graders. Seventh and eighth grade, junior high and high school, young men, you can stand. Young ladies, you can stand. I'm doing it for a reason. Okay? When those young men get to manhood age, not to usurp authority of a man, we're consistent what we teach and what we, listen, we're going to run this philosophy all the way out. I mean, if you know, we solely incorporated and aligned ourselves scripturally to try to battle against this role reverse and all the craziness that's going on. But you know what? When those young men go into their 12-year-old and up status, you know what? A woman should not be teaching that class. Nor should any woman be teaching an adult class that have men in it. Some churches have multiple adult classes. They're larger churches. They may have a ladies' class. And as long as they have a lady that is covered teaching that class, she'll help the ladies. She's uncovered. One of two things need to happen. Get her out of there or make her shave her head before she goes in. You throw something at me, you're going to have to hit this first. Amen. Paul's like, well, if you're going to do it, why don't you just wear the symbol of it? Amen. We're getting to the whole hair thing. See, people, oh, no, hair doesn't matter. Dress, it doesn't matter. It's not the hair and the dress. It's what it symbolizes in the eyes of a holy God. It's leaves on the tree, but those are the visible leaves. What I'm taking you down to and showing you the roots of that tree and why those leaves are necessary on the tree. Okay? And so we get over here to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was not first formed, then Eve. Now listen. And Adam was not, what's the next word? Deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, let me tell you what is just a fact. Because God created us this way. Ladies, because of what God created you to do and all of the strengths and the skill sets where God can successfully have you as a keeper of home, raising of children, help me to your husband. There is an innocence and a sweetness and a trusting about you that you need to excel at what God's created you to do. It's a strength, but it's also a weakness. Men by nature, since we are giving the protection duties, since we're given the protection duties, we are also created by the Creator with a skill set when it comes to discerning danger and seeing deceit. In a way, ma'am, and you can go home and say all you want to. You can chew your husband out about this all the way out there, all the way home in the car. But I'm going to tell you something. The very fact that you're arguing against this, you're proving my point. The devil's deceived you into the point where you won't even believe the Bible. Why was this done? For your protection. For your protection. My wife, and I don't want her to change. You know what I want her to be? I want her to be God. I'm not complaining. I am so glad she has this. But she has an acceptance of people and a love for people. It's that nurturing woman thing. And she has that. And you know what? She'll see the best and she'll believe the best and she'll, if that person's calling on the phone and he's told her that he's trying to give her a good deal, well, he probably comes from a good home. No. I'm just saying I can, and this is no slam against her. Men are more cynical by nature.
We just are. We just tend to not believe, and then you have to convince us. Now, I don't know if that makes for... If y'all had that, you wouldn't be what we want raising our kids. Don't you understand what God made you to be and made you to do? You need that. Listen, there is an innocence that's so sweet. I don't want her to have to worry about all that stuff. She's covered. Just be who God made you to be. I'll watch out for you. But I wouldn't change that for anything in the world. I don't want her to be cynical. I want her to be a woman. When I say my cynical guys, we just have to. We just have to by nature because of the wickedness, the evil that's out there. Because we've been given protection duty of our wives and our children and our property. We have to just view life differently. But because of that, we're not as compassionate. And sometimes we miss it. And maybe we're too harsh and too hard. If we're both like that, how's that going to work? This is God's way and God's will. Why do we frustrate the will of God? Now, I will tell you this, and I want to bring this out because I prayed over this and I saw this. Men, that is true in every area of our lives, that we usually are not easily deceived except for one area of life, and that is this. We tend to believe the best about women. I mean, when I was a principal, if a girl and a guy had an altercation in the school, it was easy. I bring him in. I spank the guy, give the girl a piece of candy, and send her back to her parents. I just think all girls are wonderful and good. And they're so sweet, and they're sugar and spice and everything nice. They certainly would never do anything wrong. Come on, something you were in the school when I was there. Is that true? All right. If you're a guy, you're guilty. If you're a girl, you're probably going to get off. You're going to get by with it. You know why? I'm a guy. That's where I lean heavily on my wife's discernment. I'm giving you ladies that because in the way that you're all agreeing with me now, outside of that one area, you need to agree with me the other way. Like I said, I think you're the best. But part of being the best is being sweeter and nicer and more innocent and more trusting and more believing. And thinking the good about everybody. That's why you're higher than us. Don't de-evolve. Man, I'm glad that. You know what? Isn't it wonderful? Come on, everybody's got little babies and little children. Isn't it wonderful to send your children to a class where that is who is going to be teaching the children? Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's why, for the most part, I like ladies. We talk about dividing the classes. I like ladies teaching the children. I know sometimes we get in a situation where we got to use a sub teacher, but Brother Jeff, don't come and ask me about some man having a permanent position teaching young children. The answer's no. They're too cynical. They're too mean. I'll walk into 2 and 3 year old class and they'll be doing push-ups. Come on, you punks! You'll not ask me to go to the bathroom again. Come on! Give me 10 more, son. Lord knows we need these sweet creatures over here raising our children and taking care of them and protecting them. But, ladies, there's a place and time where that boy's never going to become what he needs to be if you do this. That's why we say about 12 years old, okay, Mom, thanks. Great job. And by the way, some of the best parts, I mean this, if there's best parts, some of the best parts inside of me is because of that lady there. We need both influences. But she couldn't turn me into a man. Hey, why don't we just start working together? Why don't we just kind of figure out that this is God's original intent, and it's good, and it's gracious, and it ought to be wondrous in our eyes. Why don't we just tag team together and lean on each other's strengths to cover our weaknesses and listen to where God's given them insight and wisdom. And by the way, don't fight against the times when he says, I know you don't understand, but it has to be the way it is.
because he's geared in a protection mode in some areas that you're not going to get. Stop fighting each other. Be glad for each other. You know what? The two became one. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's a miracle. There's no other relationship like it. You know why? Because Adam really honestly wasn't complete, and neither was Eve. But when they were put together, they became one. And it's a wondrous thing. Now, we've gotten down through there, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians. We're just about there. All right. Verse number 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. See, you need each other. But as the woman is of the man, even so the man also is by the woman, but all things are of God. God didn't make a mistake in the way he set this thing up. Judging yourselves, I already challenged you to do that. Now look at verse number 14. This is where we first go when somebody says, well, what's wrong with wrong hair? Well, let's go to verse number 14. I hope verse number 14, the impact of it has just gone through the roof. Because even though the covering is talking about authority, there is an outward symbol of that authority that Paul was so bold to say is so strongly connected to it, is ladies, if you want to do this, shave your head. And by the way, that's what's happening in society a lot. It's where we're getting these butch haircuts and all this stuff. Let's read what the Bible says. Here we go. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now we say that, but the young man looking at that says, why would it be a shame? I got long hair, I'm not ashamed. You know why it's a shame unto him? Because when you wear that long hair, you're telling everybody, okay, I'm supposed to be here and the woman's supposed to be here, but I'm taking her symbol of submission and now I am here and I refuse the position that God created me to take. I refuse it. You know, there was a reason in the 1960s when this long-haired hippie movement, when America knew its Bible, that the dads and grandpas were throwing fits about it. And dads were grabbing their young man by the nap of the neck, dragging him down to the barber, not some hairstylist. A barber with a pole that goes around. Okay, you walk in, there's guys in there. You look on the table, guns and ammo, filled in stream. There's not some Delilah waiting there saying, your turn, you know. What are we doing? Hey, barber! You say, well, what's the big deal? It's just the thing. No, it's not just the thing. At that time, even people in church had a sense of biblical principles that had been passed down, and they understood. Doesn't nature itself teach you? I mean, that's unnatural. That's saying something, okay? So that's why, young men, that you ought to have your hair cut short. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is shame unto him? Watch this. Now, here's the other side of the coin. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And so when a woman has long hair, then you know what? That is an outward symbol. I'm going to tell everybody when I go into town so that they understand. By the way, yes, not next Sunday night. Brother Gomez is here to bring in sweetness and kindness and tiptoe around. And so you're going to get a break next week. It'll be just calm, prepare to be encouraged. And then I'll pick up where he left off, you know, where he left off. Yeah. Okay, what's the second outside symbol? We're not getting into it tonight.
Right.
But I wanted to establish, I could just have mentioned, well, folks, first of all, it's the hair, and then it's the dress, and I could read you the verses, and we could move on. But all you're seeing is the leaves of the tree, and you're not understanding that those leaves are attached to a tree that has roots, and there is a reason that these outward visible things are important.
Right.
So when you go to the ladies, listen, you know, people ask, well, how long's long and how short's short? You know, I looked at this verse. I can't find, 3 millimeters, 2 millimeters, 7 millimeters, 5 millimeters. What I've always said to people is this. If
If you were somewhere else and that you weren't there where someone can see, and someone was trying to describe you to somebody else, and they said, you know, she's about this tall, and all the things they used to describe, and then they said, and she has, and they described your hair, what would they say?
Amen. Right.
I don't know how else to explain it to you. You know? And you're all going to have to figure out where that is. But I'm telling you, we've lost something.
Yes, sir.
You can make fun of them Pentecostal women if you want to, but we've lost something.
Yes.
And that speaks to something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the more we've had in a society that's done a role reversal thing, the more the average acceptable hair length on women has gone way shorter than it should.
Yes.
And you need to sit down and talk to your husband about this. You know what? He's the authority in your life.
Amen. That's right.
He doesn't. You're not told to submit to me. You're told to submit to your own husband. And so, guys, when it comes up, be a man.
Amen.
Right.
That's
good.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to tell you this. I mean, I know a lot of men, and I talk to a lot of men, and it just seems like it's a normal, natural thing. I had daughters. Let me tell you something. Man, if they got their hair cut too short, it bothered me.
That's right. Amen.
It did.
Sir.
I'd say, I don't want it that short. Next time you cut it, let's not get it that short. Oh, but it's summer. I understand that. I get it. I get all this stuff. I had girls. I get it. I don't want our girls to the point where someone says, well, they're the girl. You don't know the pastor's kid? Well, she's the girl with the short hair.
Amen.
You know, her hair's kind of short. Okay, neither do I. Well, I don't have long hair. I'm a guy. Well, somebody's describing you to me, and I don't know who you're talking about. What's he going to say? I think if somebody's describing me, they wouldn't say, well, you never met our pastor, but, you know, he's incredibly good looking, unbelievable on the violin, and he has this kind of shaggy long hair. They're not going to say that. So you can fuss about where the line is, but all I'm knowing is this. I don't know where the line is, but I wouldn't sit right beside it. I think I'd just kind of, if you're on this side, why don't you get over on this side? If you're on this side, why don't you get over on this side? Why? Because it tells the whole world, hey, we haven't forgot the Bible. And we haven't forgot the book of Genesis. And we haven't forgot original intent. And by the way, in our home, I'm fulfilling God's original intent as being the man and the leader of my home. And my wife, thank God for my wife, a sweet, feminine looking Christian young lady, modest in her presentation, feminine in her presentation, that comes alongside me and helps me to be a success at what God has called me to do.
Amen.
Woo. There's something inside of every man right now, inside of every man right now, that's built in by God that says, I want that.
Yeah.
All these teenagers are on the front. When they're not here, they're gone. But if they were here,
right.
Something inside of them. I don't care what the world does. I don't care how many shows you've watched. How much Dr. Phil, when a preacher says that, there's something inside of you that says, as a man, that's why I was created. And that's really who I need.
Right.
Not somebody that's going to distract and fight and I have to wrestle with all the time, and it's tug of war, and I can't stay focused on what I need to do.
Right.
She's not only not a helpmeet, she's like an anchor. She's like a ball and chain. She's like a millstone around my neck. Let's get on this side of the line.
Way
over.
Yes,
guys, some of you that are walking the line and you're kind of walking like this, okay? All the way over here.
Yes.
And let's do the will of God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd take the teaching and you'd help us, Lord. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a beach and there's a tsunami coming in, and the tsunami is this cultural revolution, and I'm standing there with an open Bible and I'm still preaching. It seems like the whole world's gone crazy. And everybody's using as their pattern for the home, they're letting sexual perverts redefine masculinity, femininity, creating gender confusion. Oh, Lord, we're in a mess. We're just in a mess right now. But Lord, thank you. The Church of Jesus Christ has always been that light and salt, that bastion of hope, pillar of the truth, The world still needs to see that. They still need to see that there are families that are unapologetically ordering their home, raising their children according to the precepts and principles of the Word of God. So help us, Lord. Help us, all of us in our hearts. Men that need to step up, may they step up. Some ladies maybe that need to step back in some areas, may they do it gracefully. Reward them for it. Lord, we thank you for the teaching of your word. Pray these things in Jesus' name.